In the middle of a series titled The Money Challenge, and what we've been discovering is that money challenges our hearts and it challenges us practically. And if you have not been here with us for other parts of the series, I want to challenge you to go back to the beginning of the series and catch up on the messages that you haven't heard. Today, our challenge is about debt. Debt is no joke. According to the Pew Charitable Trust, 80% of Americans have some form of debt. According to a January 2021 NerdWallet report, the average household has a total of $149,230 in debt. $6,741 is in credit card debt, which is actually way lower than just a couple years ago. That was about $15,000 in debt in credit cards. Today, people have on average $28,000 in auto loans, $58,000 in student loans, $197,000 and $790 in mortgage debt. According to a 2015 report, 70% of Americans believe that debt is a necessity in their life. Debt is no joke. In December 2017, Victoria and I bought a van. Our van that we had was beyond repair, and we had to get a new one. And we bought a new one. It was actually a used one. But we went into debt for the first time in 9 years when we bought it. Until we paid it off 12 months later, we felt way more stress every single month as a result of that debt. Did you know your debt stresses you out? Many people lose sleep because of the debts that they have. Without realizing it, people in debt end up driving faster on the streets. Debt has the potential to make you feel burdened all the time and depressed. And so what do? You end up working more, you borrow more, you get depressed more and buy things more. And the cycle just keeps going, doesn't it? Some of you are struggling and you're behind and you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're struggling to rob Peter to pay Paul. And at some point you just can't keep the whole juggling act going anymore. And you end up in more debt. And debt continues to stress you out. And that stress stresses other people out in your family. Did you know that 65% of couples fight over money regularly because of their spending habits and because of debt? 45% of marriages end in divorce because of money. Money is the leading cause of divorce. Debt is no joke. The reason I chose to do this series on the Money Challenge series, is number one, Steve had mentioned to me that it had been a long time since this church had gone through a money series. And number two, the reason why we're doing it now at this point in the year is because the number one month of the year that people get divorced in is February. You're like, February? Don't they celebrate Valentine's Day? Yeah, but more people are getting divorced in February than at any other time of the year. Why is that? Because they go into Christmas spending all these gifts and they have this great Christmas, and then all the bills come due, right? They've gone into debt and it's stressing out these marriages. One church saw this trend and understood why these divorces were taking place in February, and so they did a money series late summer, early fall, and helped out the couples to start planning ahead. And guess what? The divorce rates went right down. This is important. Debt is no joke. It has the ability to cause stress, ruin us, our families, and our marriages. And according to the New York Times article in 2018, far more senior Americans are living in debt than ever before. Many are spending their golden years of their lives with money burdens and depression because they go into debt and stay in debt. Debt really is no joke. It has the ability to ruin your future, your later years in your life. Just this week, I saw reports that personal savings and disposable income is falling at some of the sharpest levels ever recorded as people look to enjoy some life after the pandemic. They've got their savings up, they've paid off some credit cards, and boom, they're going out and spending everything they can to have some fun finally. And as a result, more people are taking on debt. Since the onset of the pandemic, 42% of Americans say their financial situation has actually gotten worse. Americans with worsening finances are adding on even more debt. Anywhere between 50 and 100% of people's incomes are going straight towards debt. Cash-strapped Americans are borrowing against their homes just to pay the bills. Today, U.S. household debt totals $14.6 trillion. Some economists are actually predicting that when the next wave of credit defaults take place, like they did back in 2008, it'll make what took place back in 2008 look small. 13 years ago, when that all took place, that bad debt brought the financial markets to their knees. Debt is no joke, people. It even has the ability to bring nations to their knees. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, there's far more important reason that debt is no joke. According to one of the richest men in all of the Bible, King Solomon, he writes this in Proverbs 22, The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave to the lender. Debt is no joke. It has the ability to enslave you. Now I can hear your objection right now. Well, I'm an American. I'm free. I'm living in the land of the free. I'm not a slave. I'm not being mastered. But I got news for you. If people borrow from lenders, slavery exists today. If it's the new, kinder, gentler form of slavery, and actually it's actually not so gentle, it's actually very predatory when you learn about the industry. Listen to what Bud Hibbs said. He said, the bottom line is, the deck is stacked against you from day one. If you're smart enough to understand that and know that, God bless you. If not, boy, are they going to make a lot of money off of you. Did you know consumer lending is so obscenely profitable, they don't want you to ever get out of debt. They want you stuck in debt. They want you to be enslaved to borrowers, because when we're in debt, we're a slave. 2 weeks ago, we heard Jesus say, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Guess what? If you're in debt, money is your master. Remember what I said. The flow of our money toward us or toward God tells God where our hearts are. Your heart follows your money. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Your heart follows your money. And if the flow of our money is going to pay off debt for things that we bought for ourselves, then our money is flowing toward ourselves rather than toward God. If you're so enslaved financially that you can't even do what Jesus says financially, then you can't follow Jesus the way he's calling us to follow him. No one can serve two masters. It very well may be that money is your master rather than Jesus because of your debt. Debt is no joke. It has the ability to keep you from being a completely sold out follower of Jesus Christ. Plus, our debt is a generosity killer. Our debt is killing our ability to make an impact beyond ourselves. Debt has the potential to keep us from giving to the kingdom of God. We simply can't give as much to the mission to lead people to faith and maturity in Christ if we are in debt. And as a result, you have a smaller impact on eternity than you could have had. So, what should we do? What should we do? Well, Paul writes, owe no one anything. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Listen to what Paul writes in Galatians 5. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to indulge your flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law can be summed up in a single commandment, namely, you must love your neighbor as yourself." You know why Paul was so good at advancing the cause of Christ in the Roman Empire in the first century? You know why he was so affected? Because he owed no one anything financially. He was a tent maker. He didn't live beyond his means. He didn't try to live a life where he tried to create heaven here on earth. He didn't fall for the trap of creature comforts all the time. He was free to be enslaved to one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and go wherever the Holy Spirit made him go. According to a UN World Population Report, it's estimated around 7,452 people die in the United States every single day. And let's suppose that the best estimates are that only 9% of America is Christian, born again Christian, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then that means there's 6,782 people who die every single day who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Every single day, every week, every month, every year. And because you and I are in debt, we aren't reaching them like we could be. Did you know that when your financial world is out of order, you won't do much one anothering because it's all about you and your debt? Debt limits our ability to love other people. If you're a slave to debt, you're not completely free to do what we've been tasked to do as Christians. When we're in debt, we're actually more afraid of sharing the gospel with people. We're afraid because sharing our faith today could have some real negative consequences. You could get let go of your job, sidelined financially or whatever. And if you're in debt because you've been trying to accumulate stuff, you end up raising the stakes on yourself as well. It's harder to share the gospel because now there's more to lose now that I've accumulated more. Debt is no joke. It limits the ability of us to make an impact beyond ourselves. It limits our ability to love people the way Christ has asked us to love people. And it's the ability to make us as a church less effective in reaching people beyond this church. I'm telling you, no, debt is no joke. This is serious business, people. So, why are people carrying so much debt? How did we even get into debt? Now, you could easily blame low income levels, inflation, meaning lower buying power, increased taxes like we talked about last week. But a better question is to ask, what spending causes people to take on debt? Where is the money going? According to a Harris poll conducted in 2017, 41% of respondents have debt because they are spending more than they can afford on unnecessary purchases. We have fallen for the myth that if we raise our standard of living, that our quality of life will raise and go up as well. And that's a myth. It doesn't work that way. The second reason people go into debt, so 41% of people go into debt because they're making unnecessary purchases. Number two, 33% responded that they had to pay for non-medical emergencies. Believe it or not, most Americans cannot even handle a $400 emergency. The hot water tank broke. The car needed repair. The lawnmower quit working. An unexpected funeral expense came up. And they can't pay for it, so they take on more debt. The third reason, 33% responded that they had to pay for necessities not covered by household income. People aren't making enough money, and when the pay rates have stagnated as they had the last decade, and the cost of living goes up, people use credit just to buy basic necessities. There was a movie titled Maxed Out, Hard Times, Easy Credit, and the Era of Predatory Lenders. And this is what one guy said in there. It was the owner of a pawn shop by the name of Brian Laurie. And this is what he said about why people come into his shop to pawn their belongings. He said, basically, they're looking for food, rent, and a bit of entertainment. Just survival. And they're having a hell of a time. 23% go into debt because they have to pay for necessities during a time of unemployment. At some point in our time, in our life, unemployment is going to happen to the majority of us who are in this room. When that happens, we have to pay for basic necessities to keep surviving when there's less income. 17% paid for emergency medical expenses. Many uninsured and underinsured are in terrible debt because of unexpected medical expenses, whether it's dental or otherwise. Debt is no joke. Don't you want to stop living paycheck to paycheck? Don't you want more sleep in your life? Don't you want to stress less in your relationship with your spouse? Don't you want to be free from slavery to lenders? Don't you want to be able to do what Jesus asked his followers to do financially? Don't you want to stop joking around about your debt? Then what in the world are we supposed to do? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7. So I want to invite you to turn with me into your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament. It's one of the letters of Paul. He wrote to a church in Corinth that was having some major issues. And this is one of the things that he talks to them about in that letter. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to begin at verse 20. He says, let each one remain in that situation in life which he was called. Were you called as a slave? Do not worry about it. But, listen to this, in verse 21b here. If indeed you are able to be free, make the most of the opportunity. For the one who is called in the Lord as a slave is the Lord's freedman. In the same way, the one who is called as a free person is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Paul's words. Paul's words. Paul himself says, you and I, if we have the ability to become free, let's get free. So we're not slaves to people, so we can be Christ's slave. The one who has bought us. We were bought for a price when he died on the cross for our sins. Don't think that Jesus died to just set you free to be able to accomplish whatever you want in your own life financially. That's not why he set you free. He set you free from being enslaved to people to becoming a slave of his, a servant of his. And if you believe that you were bought for a price when Jesus died on the cross for your sins in order to become Christ's slave, don't you think you should try to get free from the slavery to lenders and be totally free to be Christ's slave alone? Don't you think you should do that? We need to be doing whatever it takes legally to no longer be enslaved to debt. So, how do we get out and stay out of debt? Well, here are some preventative items, and this is where you're going to want to write down some very practical things to do. Okay, here are some of the preventative items. Number one, you need to pre-decide right now that you're going to get out of this debt. You can't just decide to get out of debt. You actually need to pre-decide you never want to be owned or mastered or taken advantage of again, and that you never want to do this again. You need to decide that first. Second of all, you need to make sure you don't divorce. It's actually far more common that people in debt have actually gone through divorce in their past. So, brothers and sisters who are married, work on your marriage. Make it work. Get on the same page financially. Talk to one another about your finances and agree on a budget and don't fudge. I was just reading an article this week that there's a lot of marriages where the couples have two separate bank accounts and they have it sort of worked out as to what's going to be paid for, and they have this secret spending habits on the side. I don't know about you, but that's just weird because Victoria and I, we all put our money together and it's all together. We're united as a family. We're a brand new family unit. All of our resources are together. We're all the way married, not part of the way married. So I want to encourage you, if you're a couple who's married, make sure you're united on your finances. And this is your money challenge. You need to decide as a couple that you're not going to go into debt anymore this year, especially for Christmas, right? If you got a chance right now to start saving $20 a week for the next 20 weeks, you're going to have $400 to be able to spend on Christmas gifts, and just stick to the money that you've saved. But you can start right now so you don't go into debt, so you're not stressed in February because you got all these debts due. Okay? Save your marriage. Work on this together. Have a daily, if not a weekly, conversation about finances. You have to work on this together. Number three, don't co-sign any loans for anyone, no matter how close to you they are. Don't do it. Proverbs 17 says this, "The one who lacks wisdom strikes hands in pledge and puts up financial security for his neighbor." Proverbs 22 says this, "Do not be one who strikes hands in pledge or who puts up security for debts. If you do not have enough to pay, your bed will be taken right out from under you." Don't co-sign for any loans for other people. If you're here and you're in debt, I'm going to ask you to ignore your broke friends. And if you can't ignore them, say no every single time they ask you for money. Just say, you know what? It's our family's decision to no longer loan money. If you've lent money to them in the past, you just have to say, I've changed our policy. My policy on loaning money to family and friends, I can no longer honor your request for money. Can I buy you some groceries instead and leave it at that? Right? You want to make sure their food, you know, they're fed and clothed for the day. That's all they need. Today's needs need to be met. But don't loan money to people. Say no long enough until they stop asking. Okay? It's okay. You have permission to say no to people. Never, ever go to a cash advance store. All right, those are the most predatory lenders on the planet. Stay away from them, all right? Number five, live frugally. Lower your standard of living in order to increase your quality of life. The older you get, actually, the faster you need to downsize. You need to think, okay, what's going to happen to me in 5 years and in 10 years? If everything needs to be on one floor, everything needs to begin to be clear out the basement, clear out the upstairs. You need to declutter the things that have added up over the years and just start to get rid of them. Have garage sales. Pay off debt. Avoid any expensive hobbies. It's really easy to get more and more expensive hobbies the older you get. Avoid it. You don't want to go into debt. That's why a lot of senior Americans are having to declare bankruptcy at rates they've never done before. Number six, start using coupons. Plan your grocery stops. Go to the library instead of Amazon.com. You can find books at your library. They're still free, unless you get them back late, right? Number seven, make your own lunch to take to work. Stop eating out. Seriously. You know how cheap it would be to actually make your own coffee at home? Eat some cereal for breakfast? Take your sandwich and chips to work. That's 2/3 of your meals of your life, and that would be really cheap. It's easy to do. It's easy to start eating out all the time, going to breakfast all the time, and guess what? You're just going to go into debt fast. It's way more expensive to do that. Eat your own food, plan your grocery chips, and stick with it. So how do we get out? How do we get out of debt? If you're currently in debt, this is what you have to do. You actually have to start treating debt like an emergency, all right? When you get cut bad and you're bleeding out, you could eventually bleed out and die. And what's happening to you financially as you're in debt is what's happening to you if you're bleeding and your life is on the line, okay? When you're being bled out, it's an emergency. So when you're in debt, it's an emergency. You need to treat it like an emergency, all right? So stop your spending. Get rid of luxuries immediately. You can live without cable. You can live without Netflix. You can live without Amazon Prime memberships. Stop those magazine subscriptions. Whatever it is, figure out what you need to stop and stop that spending immediately. Just get out of those contracts. Not only that, but you need to stop borrowing going forward. Cut your credit cards up. Force yourself to stop using them. Don't buy into the myth that there's a change or find, you know, cash crisis going. Somebody told me that the other day, but as soon as I go to Dunkin' Donuts, they got plenty of change. So there's no change crisis happening. Just go to the bank, get what you need. That's what you can use because that's all you have. It's in cash. It's not debt. It's not credit, right? Number three, list all of your debts on paper. Every single one of them. Get them all on a piece of paper. Figure out all the debts you have. And then you need to make the percentage, the interest rate percentage right next to that, each of those debts. You need to say, well, this one's at a 15% rate, or this one's at a 4.3% rate, or whatever. List them all out, the amount and the percentage rate. And what you need to do is you need to make a plan to pay off your debt. And what I would encourage you to do is use the debt snowball method to pay off your debt. Dave Ramsey talks about this. Basically, you set up your automatic bill payment on all of those debts. You pay the minimum, except the one with the biggest percentage of interest rate. So the biggest percentage of interest rate is making you pay more to borrow that money. So if it's like a 15% or 20% interest rate, you need to pay that debt off the fastest out of all of them. Pay the minimum all the others and go after that one and tackle it like it's an emergency because it's bleeding you out. Okay? You need to do it, and you need to be aggressive about it. And you need to pay that loan off. And as soon as you paid that one off, guess what? Boom, you can go to the next highest interest rate. And then you keep snowballing that sucker to the all the interest to the lowest one, okay? Make this happen. Number seven, call and pay by phone on the final payment. Don't let them talk you out of it. My wife one time went to pay our last student loan payment, and they're like, what do you want to do that for? Don't you want to, no. And then, like, she laughed. She realized, I'm a slave to you. No, I'm paying it off on the phone right now so that I don't have to pay any more interest rate on this. And we were debt-free. After only a year and a half, we paid off all of our student loans. We could have kids. She could stay home with them. It worked out great. I'm telling you, be aggressive at this. Pay your last payment by phone, and don't let them talk you out of getting out of debt. Then you need to begin paying on your next interest rate loan, like I talked about. I would also encourage you, when you're doing this process to get out of debt for the debts that you have, to listen to Dave Ramsey. He's got a free radio program. You can download his podcast for free. Go to his website. And the only thing I want to encourage you to do is to listen to that once a week or whatever. And the reason why is because every single time he usually gets this phone call, comes in and says, hey, Dave, we're finally debt free. And there is celebration and rejoicing involved. They say we had $150,000 in debt and now we're debt free. And I want you to be encouraged that you can think that this is something that you can do too. And when you hear other people's stories of getting debt-free, it'll encourage you to keep at it, okay? You get to hear their celebration. You get to have the anticipation and the hope of what it's going to be like when you finally get debt-free as well, all right? So listen to Dave Ramsey if you can. See if you can increase your income. Number 10, see if you can increase your income. If you're unemployed, get a job. If you're retired, go back to work somehow and get out of debt. Treat your debt like an emergency. If you're underemployed, do the first thing you can do is go to your boss and ask for a raise. And if they're not able to do that, look for better paying jobs. There's a lot of jobs out right now that are really trying to pay people more. Also, do not ever fall for any of those get rich schemes. You know those things where they ask you to buy all this product so you can sell to your friends? And then your friends don't like you because you've been selling product to them that they end up realizing they don't want. Yeah, those schemes, they actually put people into debt, the people who get caught up in these things. So don't try any good pyramid. They're not even good, okay? Just don't try any of those pyramid schemes. Don't fall for it, okay? Number 11, sell extra things that you have, things that are underused. If you haven't used it in 3 years, you're probably not going to use it. Have a garage sale, sell it, take the money, sell it on Craigslist, whatever, take all that money and pay off your debts. Get rid of the extra cars. Use any money that you have to sell any of the things that you got and pay off your debt immediately. Number 12, be patient. If you have debt, it's not easy and it takes time to get out of debt, but it can be done. Being debt-free is really, really worth the work, okay? It's really worth the work. There are no shortcuts. You just have to go through it and be intentional. But it's possible. Do not use a debt consolidation company. One person asked Dave Ramsey about this. I didn't know much about these things, so I'm going to just tell you what Dave Ramsey thinks because he's in this arena of trying to help people get debt-free as well. He says this. He says, debt consolidation companies, using them is not a good idea. He says, you're looking at two major problems with a company such as this. One, they will absolutely destroy whatever credit you may have. Okay, their plan is to take your cash and spend some of time beating down the credit card companies until they agree to accept a lesser amount. Then they use your cash to settle loans you will have defaulted on by then. And this will put you in a situation very similar to if you had filed Chapter 13 bankruptcy. He says, stay away from these people, okay? Don't use a debt consolidation program. Use the debt snowball program. Number 14, if you're in debt, don't declare bankruptcy. If you're saddled by too much debt and you declare bankruptcy, guess what happens then? You experience guilt. You experience shame. You experience the loss of your reputation. I just came from a small town. They would put people who just declared bankruptcy in the newspaper. Think about it. That was a very shameful thing to see your name in there for, and everybody knows you in town. Do you think God wants you to feel shame and guilt and lose your reputation because you've filed bankruptcy? Is that what God wants you to feel? No, of course not. He wants what's best for you. Okay? Debt has the ability to make you feel things God doesn't want you to feel. That's what debt does. Psalm 37 says this, evil men borrow, but do not repay their debt. Evil men borrow, but do not repay their debt. It's evil to not repay the debt that you owe. Did you know your debts to others is not off limits from God's opinions? No matter what reason you think you shouldn't have gone in debt for, it's not off limits to His opinion. Okay? I totally get it. If you've declared bankruptcy, I know people who have had to declare bankruptcy. I even know Christians who, when they found out that they should have not declared bankruptcy, after years of getting out of debt and getting their financial world in order, go back to the people they declared bankruptcy off and actually paid back that money. And banks were like, what? They were like very intrigued. What are you doing? The guy said, I'm a Christian. Did you know bankruptcy is actually now harder to obtain than ever before? And once you file bankruptcy, guess what? You can't ever do it again. So what happens then after you file bankruptcy? The credit card companies know you're the person who has a taste for credit. So what do? They go right back to you. And they start offering you all these offers. And when they get you then, and then you go into debt and you can't get out of it, they own you for life because you can't declare bankruptcy again. Banks make more money off the weakest customers than anyone else. Did you know that for every single dollar in principal that you borrow from a credit card company, they want $2 in return in interest and fees? Credit card lending and subprime lending are so obscenely profitable that getting families to take on more debt is actually going to yield them more money, even if the number of foreclosures and bankruptcies increase. Debt is no joke. It has the ability to really enslave us. One of the most wonderful joys of my life as a pastor is to be able to see people over time change and be transformed and to become more and more Christ-like in every single area of their life. And I'll never forget having preached a sermon on debt in the past. And years go by and people are saying, you know what, we're almost out of debt. We made a change because you said something on Sunday morning and you showed us from the scriptures that we needed to become free and be slaves to Christ alone. That warms my heart. There would be nothing more joyous than to know that some of you get out of debt so you can be completely enslaved to do what Christ is asking you to do. All right? Debt is no joke. Treat debt like an emergency and keep focused on it until you're free. You know, there are some things in life that you can recover from, even if it takes some time, like getting out of debt. It takes time, but you can pay off your loan. But there are some things in life that once life is done, you simply cannot recover from. You might be here and you might be thinking, I'm financially debt-free. But in reality, you still may be in debt, and you don't even know it. Many have no idea that they owe a debt to God for their sin. Every single one of us owes a debt so big that we could never, ever pay it off. In fact, it's impossible for any of us to pay back to God what we owe Him for our sin. We owe God a debt that we could never pay. There's no repayment program big enough or long enough to get us out of the consequences we deserve from even a single sin. No amount of good deeds, no amount of clean living, no amount of generous giving, and not even an eternity in hell can repay God for what we owe Him for a single sin. What we need is somebody who can pay off the debt that we could never pay. We need someone who is truly rich, who is debt-free, to pay that off. And that someone is Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, He suffered and He died on the cross. He paid the debt that we could never pay. He gave Himself as a ransom for many. He paid the debt for you and I and our sin. Because Jesus paid the debt that we can actually be forgiven. God can look at our debts and they can be completely forgiven. He paid for that forgiveness when He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. But that forgiveness is only available if you trust in Jesus Christ right now. You have to believe that He paid the debt that you could never pay. And right now, if you do that, you'll be completely debt-free where it matters most. And your debts to God. Debt is no joke. It has the ability to take away our preferred eternity from us if you don't get this right in your lifetime. Praise the Lord, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank You so much for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, You visited a home with some Pharisees, and this lady came in, washed Your feet with her tears, put expensive oil on Your feet, and the Pharisees had hard hearts of sin. They didn't understand why this sinner could touch Jesus. Jesus, You set that Pharisee straight when You told him about two people owing a lender money and the one owing way more and being forgiven. Lord, we all owe a debt to You for our sin and for what You've done for us. And You have freed us to become slaves to You. And we want to love You by doing what You asked us to do. Help us to be free from the slavery to lenders and to people on this earth, and to be freed up to do what it is you ask us to do. Help us to be bold in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Help us to live debt-free. And if there's anybody here who has not yet trusted in you, Lord Jesus, to pay the debt that they themselves owe but could never pay, I pray that they would trust now that you paid it for them when you died on the cross for them, and that that'd be the only way that their eternity can be forgiven, so that they can have the preferred eternity that they really want. And I pray, Lord, that that would melt us so much, that we would get out of debt, that we would be a church free to do what you ask us to do all the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.